Well, you heard it from CBS and from Laura Oakes at the top of the hour. I am impressed that Hennepin County has charged an ICE agent. Good for Mary Moriarty, good for Hennepin County. I'm not saying whether or not this ICE agent is guilty, but I sure am glad that the Hennepin County Attorney's Office has charged this agent. And what an absolute load of crap as far as the effort that it took. We should all be embarrassed of the way the federal government obstructed this investigation from day one. Welcome to Drive Time. It's Jason, 651-461-9226. The Hennepin County attorney has charged, not in the two deaths that happened in Minneapolis, but in the case that maybe is, I mean, obviously nothing is more outrageous than the taking of another human's life. This case, though, so outrageous that even the federal government admitted that they were putting this ICE agent on leave because it looked like he completely lied about what happened. This is the case. Remember the case where an ICE agent said he was being attacked by a snow shovel and a broom? And it turned out that the city of Minneapolis had a surveillance camera right in that area. Reading the criminal complaint here, just as a reminder to me that the people who continue to try to defend the actions of the ICE agents in Minnesota by blaming protesters, by blaming the mayor and the governor, there's one place to blame. And it's ICE agents who are acting as if they were above the law rather than they were there to enforce the law. And reading through this document, it reminds me that that is what people were protesting against. That is what made people upset, this feeling that a supposed law enforcement agency was coming into our community and just doing whatever the hell they wanted. It is not the way that our county sheriffs would act. It's not the way that our state patrol would act. They just wouldn't. In this case, Hennepin County attorney is saying Christian Castro, 52 years old, nationwide arrest warrant for him. Because this guy shot into a house trying to shoot Julio Sosa Solis. This was January 14th. This was, I remember seeing local news reports where you saw the gunshot in the house. This guy was initially charged with assaulting a federal officer. Christy Noem accused him of an act of attempted murder. And the charges were dropped, and a federal judge said that these federal agents made all this stuff up. Law enforcement agents are not, should not be above the law. And that includes ICE agents. I am glad that this agent was charged because it does show that the law still matters. The law still matters. Now, will this guy ever face any justice? We're going to talk to Joe Tamburino about that in our next hour. Because I don't know if you really have much of a chance of going after a federal law enforcement agent in Hennepin County court. But I just reject those of you. And look, let me give you my overall belief on this. My overall belief is that there should be a high level of deference to law enforcement agents who are doing their job. And I reject the idea that whenever something goes wrong during a law enforcement, you know, a justified pursuit, an investigation, an interaction that goes wrong, my bias is in favor of the law enforcement officer. We have paid these folks to do a job to protect us. And screwing up on the job, to me, doesn't mean you get hit with an attempted murder charge. There needs to be some middle ground on these cases, my view. And when you lie about what happened, when you repeatedly lie about what happened, when what you did was so egregious as the facts that we know them in this case indicate it is, yeah, you should be charged. You should face the music. I don't think overall, today, 2026, law enforcement officers have to worry every day when they do their job that they're going to get charged with murder. I think the pendulum has swung back to reality a little bit. I think there was a stretch post the murder, and yes, I said murder, of George Floyd, where there was political hay to be made by going after law enforcement officers. Today, I don't know. I don't think it's the same as it was then. And so I do think the county attorney in Hennepin County, now she's not running again. What does she care? But I'm glad she did it. 651-461-9226. Are you with me, or do you think I'm off my rock? Texter says, sure, Mary Moriarty will charge a federal ICE agent doing his job, but she won't charge all the true criminals out there. The county is an absolute joke. She is, too. So I guess I would ask the texter, like, and I have plenty of disagreement about the fact that the county attorney here has been, I think, more interested in helping those accused of crimes than prosecuting people who have been committed, who have committed crimes. I think, generally speaking, you could say that this office is more interested in providing a form of social justice, if you wanted a broad critique. But for me, if you want to get down to the nitty gritty, like, I would like to see tougher prosecutions in a time when crime is above what our norm is. At the same time, I don't see anybody else really doing much to try to prevent things like car theft or juvenile crime. And while the proportion of effort spent on these things I don't always agree with, when's the last time you saw anyone in elected office do anything to actually try to prevent crime? We're pretty good at arresting people when they commit it. We're, you know, so-so at locking people up. We're not real good at preventing it. And so she's tried to do that with car thefts, with juvenile crime. But we look at individual cases. We don't look at the overall, oh, like, she's soft. I don't know. Texter says, if somebody wants those committing crimes prosecuted, this agent, ICE agent, qualifies. That's what I think. I think it unquestionably qualifies. Benjamin says, the federal government has been an embarrassment for a while now. And Frank says, how come we haven't had the killers of Alex Pretty and Renee Good charged? We'll see if there are charges on those. I'm curious what you guys think. I do believe that those cases are both more difficult. They are both more difficult than this one. The Alex Pretty case, I think, is, there's a better shot you would have in filing charges there. But when you watch that unfold in real time, that does come closer to my sort of bias of saying this was bungled and very poorly done. Mm. And I'm not sure, to me, it rises to the level of a typical crime, a attempted murder, a murder, an assault, a reckless homicide, any of those. To me, I'm not sure that I'm there. I'm not there. But again, the federal government didn't even help. Mary Moriarty had to go through a full investigative process to even figure out who this ICE agent was. Outrageous. Marty, stay on the line. We'll get to you in just a second. Text coming in as well at 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in a minute. Just this afternoon, prosecutors in Hennepin County and Minneapolis charged a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent in a shooting of a man in North Minneapolis. This turned out to be a case of mistaken identity, followed by a number of lies. And this isn't me saying it. This isn't just Mary Moriarty saying it. This also was a Trump administration official who is saying there's a chance this guy's going to be charged with perjury. False police report is what the charge is in Hennepin County, falsely reporting a crime, along with four counts of second-degree assault with a deadly weapon. I am glad that Mary Moriarty and the State Bureau of Criminal Apprehension dedicated the time and the effort that they had to dedicate to this, because the Trump administration would not cooperate with the investigation. Outrageous. Outrageous. 651-461-9226. Marty is in Albert Lee. Marty, thanks for listening and for calling. You're on CCO. What do you think about all this?
But Jason, I'm right there with you. You know, I've called in before. We're pretty close on this. Law enforcement, I have a brother that's in the sheriff's department. Law enforcement needs to be held to a higher state of consciousness and a higher accountability when they break the law. Because when law enforcement breaks the law like this, they make the job that much harder for law enforcement that is doing their job correctly. Yeah. And as we know, this is just wrong on so many levels. This guy should never be able to hold a position of authority or law enforcement again in his life for abusing that privilege.
Yeah, and you raise a point that I think is critical, Marty, that I really believe that 95 to 99% of law enforcement officers do an incredible job day in and day out. And I do think we need to have, I don't like this more recent development that if you screw up on the job, it's criminal charges or nothing. I feel like there has to be some other sort of discipline, because you run the risk that nobody wants to be a cop. If you worry that you screw up on the job, now you're going to prison for 10 years. That said, like, sometimes it's so egregious that you have to be held to that higher level of account, lest you embarrass and besmirch the good reputation of everybody else who's trying to do things right.
Agreed.
Thanks, Marty. Appreciate the call. Lots of texts coming in. Jason, I've nearly always been disappointed in Mary Moriarty's job performance, but she got it right this time, says a texter. Jason, you're right on. The charges brought against the officer should have been done much sooner, but no time like the present. The ice under Kristi Noem was a disaster. Dangerous time. Cops don't have complete immunity, nor do ICE agents, says another texter, though Trump administration tried to tell them that they do. Now, I do think that people should not take this case as like, okay, now when are we going to get, when are we going to get the ICE agent who killed Renee Good? And when are we going to get the ICE agent who killed Alex Pretty? Both of those cases are going to be much more difficult to prove in a court of law. I just think they are. They happened quickly. I go back and forth. I can convince myself on either of those cases that the ICE agent should be charged. What I think as a citizen and a voter you should be most concerned about is the fact that the federal government, not only did they come into our community and act like thugs on the street, then they shut down the investigation of it. How do you defend that? How do you stand up and say, yes, that is exactly what should have happened? How do you defend it? You cannot defend it. Now, I'm sitting here saying I'm not sure that the agents involved in the shooting of Renee Good and Alex Pretty should be charged. I'm not sure. But I am sure that you should have had a full and complete investigation. And if the federal government gave a rip about justice and fairness and the law and their reputation, They would have conducted an investigation and invited the state to join them the way that it's always been done.
So basically what you're saying is this could have been done and still can be done the easy way, but because, like you said at the beginning of the show, it shouldn't have taken this long to get to from A to B with one investigation, let alone numerous, but because, you know, people like Mary Moriarty and others are having to really dig a lot of deep holes in different places to try and find evidence and trying to find, you know, the full story. This is kind of the ramifications and the consequences of, you know, shutting out the state level enforcement when it comes to this.
There just should have been a full investigation. Yeah. Now, there are those who will defend the ICE agents and say that they were doing their job. And I'm not convicting this guy. I'm saying there is enough evidence for me to say this should go to a trial. Mm. We'll see what a judge thinks. I'm just whatever. I'm just a radio host.
Yeah.
One of our frequent conservative commentators on our YouTube channel with a username that I cannot say says, well, this is a shock. Jason giving kudos to an embarrassment of a lame duck's county attorney, and the most unqualified and crooked attorney general in our state's history. Castro is a hero, along with the other two agents. It takes an impressive amount of delusion to look at what this ICE agent is accused of doing and say that he's a hero. It is possible that this agent has been a hero in other parts of his career, in other parts of his job. I don't know. I am saying, are you a hero when you claim that you were beaten by a shovel and a broom, you go to a hospital in Cambridge, have a full medical workup, which found nothing but a bruise on your thumb. Oh, you were hitting the head. Really? Really? And then there's video evidence that shows every version of your story was a lie. Real hero. Real. That's not heroic.
Not necessarily the shooting. It's the lying and trying to backtrack following said event.
That
much worse.
Look, if you came forward and said, man, things were chaotic, it just got a little out of control.
Let the investigation play out and see what happens. But don't
down
on it. And then...
By the way, the evidence is that the Minneapolis man here, Julio Sosa Solis, that he was running into a house when they shot at him, which is also against any sort of good police procedure.
Mm.
This guy had no weapon. He was not a threat. And in fact, he was not the guy that they thought they were looking for.
Yeah. So much for the worst of the worst.
Yeah. Just the whole thing was a debacle. It didn't have to be. You could have done it the Tom Holman way from the beginning.
Mm.
And today, if we did things the way Tom Holman wanted to do it, not the Christy Noem, Greg Bovino way, if we did it the Holman way, I think we would be having much different conversations here. Then the idea that, citizens were intervening in law enforcement work. Yeah, I'd be much more sympathetic to that viewpoint. That's where I was leaning at the beginning of this process until we saw what those ICE agents were doing. And how did we see it? Because of citizens who were being annoying, but they were documenting it and they showed us and they showed the country and the world this out of control federal force that left Minnesota because people stood up. We're going to break. You want to talk heroic? What's going on in the North Shore of Minnesota? Lakes Country, wildfires hitting. Boy, some of this footage is horrifying. But heroic action on the front line. We're going to get an update from up in that region. We'll do it live over video link up. Isaiah Mengen from Lakes Area Heroes is going to join us in just a minute. So check it out on the YouTube stream. Just search WCCO Radio. Boy, these fires in northern Minnesota have been sad to watch. There's a fire near Two Harbors, another in Crow Wing County. And one, the one near Two Fires, Minnesota Incident Command is saying was because of a downed power line. All the winds so dry up there. But this other fire is in an area of Minnesota where so many of our Twin Cities residents have cabins. It's part of the state I love so much, Crow Wing County. Started on Saturday. And so we wanted to get an update from a guy who has really just been doing incredible work, sharing stories, especially of the first responders that are in the Lakes area. And Isaiah Moengen from Lakes Area Heroes is with us via video link up right now. Isaiah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for the invite. I'm stoked to be here.
Tell me, first of all, tell me kind of how you're chronicling of this and chronicling of the incredible work firefighters have been doing up there started.
That's a great question. I mean, my organization supports our local heroes, our local first responders and firefighters in Crow Wing County and the four county area here up north. And the community supports us so we can do that. So when these fires started and the community started reaching out and saying that they wanted to help, you know, we jumped into action.
You guys honor law enforcement, EMS, all sorts of first responders, giving back to support them and help them out. Tell me a little bit, you know, down here in the Twin Cities, honestly, everywhere in Minnesota, I think, is pretty familiar with the volunteer firefighter culture because it's so common across this state.
Yep.
But the men and women who are out fighting these wildfires right now, a lot of them are in fact, volunteers, right?
Absolutely. I would say probably over 90%. I don't know for sure, but most of them are volunteer. Most of them are taking time away from their families to come fight these fires for their neighbors. And the mutual aid effort has been incredible from departments all over the state. We actually had crews from our county, from Crow Wing County, that were in Two Harbors fighting fires Friday night.
Oh, wow.
Saturday. And then they got called back to these fires home. So they got about 2 hours of sleep and then came here and went right to work on these fires because they were absolutely insane. And then, you know, we stepped in Saturday afternoon to help, you know, take care of them on site here.
Isaiah Moengen is with Lakes Area Heroes, and he's been posting sort of updates from the front lines and also the way businesses have been stepping up to kind of support some of those first responders too. Just from a personal level, Isaiah, like, how bad are the fires? What's your response and your reaction been being close to this?
Yeah, I mean, I live in Cross Lake. I'm a resident here pretty much all my life, and it was pretty scary to see the plumes and the smoke cloud. My wife was on her way home from work and said, "Oh my gosh, are you seeing this? This is insane." And then we were, you know, just like any other Saturday morning, doing the honey-do list, you know, clean out the shop, and we saw the fire, the planes coming around, and it was like, are we in a war zone, or what's going on here? And then it was like, yep, my phone started ringing, and it didn't stop, and it hasn't, which is so cool.
The response is always amazing when we look at the number, well, the containment, the latest as those burn, and we'll get an update in the next 20 minutes in our local news here. But we're talking about, like, sort of to the east of Breezy Point, that area where I saw some pictures of the fire sort of jumping the highway, which was pretty freaky stuff as you watch. I mean, this stuff is so unpredictable, and it has been so dry up there, hasn't it?
It has. It's really been dry.
Yeah. Isaiah Moengen is with us. Did you get any rain in the overnight like we did down here in the city?
Not much. We got a little bit. Yeah, it was a little damp this morning, but it wasn't nearly enough as we needed.
What, you know, in the response, and is it mostly Facebook where people have been mobilizing and supporting you guys?
Not necessarily. I mean, obviously, there's an incredible response on social media and Facebook and Instagram, but honestly, it's just been people, you know, messaging us, calling me directly. You know, the incident command is directing all the public to reach out to myself so I can make sure to filter the community coming in and delivering supplies and goodies. The state fire marshal actually got a little he had to come chat with me yesterday.
Guys, I've been inundated with messages and calls.
It was insane.
Yeah, I was just
we are out here.
I'm gonna play a little bit of one of these videos you posted. Here
Please
we
do.
Go.
We're on County Road 11, delivering burgers and hot dogs. Check out this. The back is absolutely full of the fleet vehicle. Tyler, what are you doing?
Hey. We're giving out some stuff.
We got chips. We've got goodies.
It's pretty cool, like just seeing the response and seeing all of the donations that you guys have been getting too. What sort of stuff have you seen from businesses and from residents up there?
So cool. We had, you know, MN Traders Co. donated coffee the last couple days. We've had Mission Tavern, Rafferty's Pizza, Mossieri's, Grandview Lodge showed up with some ribs and smoked hot dogs. NW was that first night. She made like 200 plus cheeseburgers and hot dogs for us to run out, and we had them in hot coolers, so they were eating a hot meal. I mean, these local businesses, and everyone keeps asking how they can support us. Go support those businesses. When you guys come up north, come support these businesses, because they kept dropping off food, and I kept trying to give them money or reimburse them, and they accepting it. They said, nope, this is us returning the favor to them. And they are so thankful that we're here to be able to provide this hot food for these heroes when they're on the ground.
Isaiah Moengen from Lakes Area Heroes is with us. What do you want people to know about, you know, your part of the state and sort of the, you know, the resilience and the ability to step up and jump in when you have a time of crisis like this?
The Brainerd Lakes area supports our heroes, our law enforcement, our first responders, our firefighters fearlessly. And they have been looking for a way to do that for many years, and this is just shows it. This community loves our heroes and appreciates them because they are the community. These are the people that I've had that own businesses and own restaurants, and they are absolutely incredible, and they're going to be here every day until it's taken care of.
Pretty cool. Really appreciate sort of the grassroots effort that you and your neighbors and the businesses have put together to support those folks, because, fighting a wildfire is exhausting because it does not end. You do not know when it's going to move and jump and the wind is going to shift. And you know that you are trying to protect something that's so important to people, which is their home. I mean, it's emotional work, Isaiah. Isaiah Moengen
showed up in droves to help out. It's so cool. Even some of the farmers, all their friends showed up with trailers, loading up all the livestock and getting their horses out to make sure they're protected.
You can go to the website, lakesareaheroes.com. There's a spot on there where you can donate. But as Isaiah said, just supporting those businesses who you know have helped out is pretty cool, too. Isaiah, thank you. And let all the firefighters and the families of the firefighters who might be listening or watching this, that we appreciate them.
Yeah. Thank you, Jason.
Pretty cool. 3:46. That's Isaiah Moengen with us here on Drive Time with DeRussia. We're going to break. In a minute, I want to talk about Art of World, because it was like the state fair was happening in Northeast Minneapolis this weekend. It was unlike anything I've seen in a while. That plus the NFL draft. Are we going to be optimistic about the city of Minneapolis? We're going to try our hardest when we come back. This weekend had me feeling optimistic about summer in the cities. Two things that I did. Followed by some news today has me feeling great about Minneapolis. And I'd love to know where you are on this. Part of it for me is that you got to keep experiencing stuff. You have to keep going out, coming to places and reevaluating. Right. And so I know we're going to get the crime. I'm never coming to the city, blah, 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 text. And I get it. Like, crime was really bad, and crime is still worse than it was before COVID. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be at zero crime. And so you have to decide for yourself, is the fun, is the uniqueness worth the risk? I tend to think the risk, especially during the day, is so low. So, Sam, the college kid, is back in town. Sam, Alyssa, and I went to Art of World in Northeast Minneapolis. And Art of World used to be a pretty chill event where you'd wander through Northrop King Building. Artists would have wine. They used to have wine and beer and stuff in their room, and you'd have like a little taster, and you'd get to talk to an artist, and it was awesome. And we bought, I love buying art from Minnesota artists. We bought plenty of pieces over the years. We don't normally go on Saturday, but it was so dang nice on Saturday. It was like 80 degrees. We're like, let's go. So Sam, Alyssa, and I come in from Maple Grove. Went to lunch at Maya Cuisine right on Central. Wow. Fantastic. Mm. Walked to the Thorpe Building, Casket Arts, what's the building that Indeed Brewery is in? I don't know. That one. Went to a place called Q Arma across from Earl Giles. Amazing. Amazing experience. And in fact, it felt like the State Fair. The street where Indeed, so like Indeed and Centro and Earl Giles, that whole complex, the Solar Arts Building.
Oh, got it.
Solar Arts Building. That whole street was shut down, and there were wall-to-wall people. It was awesome. Everybody was walking around, all from like near Holy Land on Central all the way down to like where Northrop King and Earl Giles and Minnesota Nice Cream. It was so cool. Then Sunday, I went to the Twins game where I got to throw out the first pitch, but I let my nephew do it, Matthew. Because it's kids' day, and nobody needs to see me screw up throwing out the first pitch. And being at Target Field was so fun. Now, the reason Target Field was so fun was Milwaukee Brewer fans. Thank you, Milwaukee Brewer fans.
Yeah,
for coming to our city, we appreciate you. But it was fun.
Yeah.
So what I guess what I'm suggesting is there is fun to be had.
Mm-hmm.
There is fun to be had. And then today you learn that the NFL draft is going to be here, right in the back of US Bank Stadium. It's ESPN reporting that. Fun stuff. You
it's all happening, Jason. It's all coming together.
It's sort of how I felt.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a great vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of a reminder for me that when people feel kind of hinky about being in the city, a lot of it is because of a lack of people.
Yeah.
Right? And so whenever I feel downtown a little bit like, it's a little... It's because no one's here. So... More events, I think. Like, that's just going to be the solution. So don't cheat yourself.
SummerSlam this summer. It's kind of
SummerSlam is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Continental Dive and Time Check. It's 3:58. Back with Joe Tamburino and the latest on our breaking news. ICE agent charged by Hennepin County. Next.